Good morning and welcome back to Nach Yomi. Today we're going to be focusing on Yechezkel Perek Mem, the 40th chapter of Sefer Yechezkel. This actually introduces the last section of Sefer Yechezkel and perhaps the lesser known aspects of the book of Yechezkel. From Mem to Memches, that is from the 40th to 48th and last chapter of Sefer Yechezkel, we're going to be dealing with the vision of the bias of the future temple. It is fascinating. This section now is focused on the future, is focused on rebuilding. It is pretty complex as to what is going on over here. It seems to be that this is the bookend of the beginning of the Sefer. At the beginning of the book, from Prakim Aleph to Yud Ches, the first 18 chapters, is a gradual description of the leaving of the Shechina, of how the Divine Presence is leaving the Beis HaMikdash. And we have those prophecies where, in fact, Yechezkel is in the air above Yerushalayim, watching the destruction ensuing, and the visions of destruction, the angels all leaving Yerushalayim, the Shechina leaving Yerushalayim from the Eastern Gate. At this point, it's about the Shechina returning to Yerushalayim, and it's going to be returning first through the Eastern Gate, so it's the bookend of Yechezkel's first vision. It is pretty unclear what is going on over here, and we are given numerous measurements, but a lot of the Beis HaMikdash. We're going to go through some of the general structural ideas that are described here, but not all of the measurements are here. So, for instance, we'll have many times we'll have width and length, but we won't have height, as an example. We're not told the height of this from an engineering standpoint. The Mishneh Torah and the Rambam in Hilchos Beis HaBechira in Perek Aleph Mishneh Dalad says the following: Binyan Shebono Shlomo Kvar Meforash Melachim. If you look in Sefer Melachim, you'll see the building which Shlomo Melech made, which we call Bais Rishon, the first Mikdash. V'chein Binyan Asid Lo Yebonois. He says the third bias, the Beis HaMikdash which we hope to witness in our lives, God willing, is the one said here in Yechezkel. This is about the bias Shlishi, but it is not clear, says the Rambam. It's Eino Meforash Umavuar. And he explains the second Beis HaMikdash, which was rebuilt at the time of Shiva Tzion, the return to Zion at the end of the goddess Bavel, that was built like the bias of Shlomo HaMelech, with a few additions of the what's explicit in Yechezkel. Why they weren't able to, why they didn't do the bias like Yechezkel said it, perhaps we'll get to a little bit later. The Mevarshim differ in their approach in trying to explain this. So Rashi and the Radak, as an example, will plow through and they will say where they don't understand what's going on, where it seems to be that we're missing details, but they'll try to explain each little piece as they go through. Other Mevarshim, like Madamari Kra, Rav Yeshaya Trani, stop their Pirushim. They just say, we're going to stop our Pirushim Yechezkel at this point in time, and they don't venture into this area. The later Mevarshim spend a lot of time on this. So for instance, Rav Yom Tov Lipman Heller, the author of the Tosfos Yom Tov on the Mishnah, wrote a book called Surah Sabayas, which focuses on the section. The Malbim has his own area of writing on this called Tavni Sabayas on the section. The Vilna Gaon in Aderes Eliyahu spends a lot of time focusing on this. All the separate plans and maps that they draw for these sections are adding on a little bit more than what the Psukim say, because the Psukim are not sufficient to be able to understand the archaeological, or perhaps rather the geometric and architectural design of the Beis HaMikdash. They need to, from an engineering standpoint, an architectural standpoint, add in little pieces of details which the Pesukim don't seem to address. And they're all these three different options are actually slightly different from each other, but what they are in agreement is that they are not the same as what the second Beis HaMikdash looks like. So our introduction to this section runs from Pasuk Aleph to Dalet. And in this section, Yechezkel is told that in the 25th year of Galusenu, of our Galus, which means measuring from when he was taken into Galus, which is the times of Yehoyachim, but Rosh Hashanah be'esor al-Chodesh, on the Rosh Hashanah on the 10th of the month, which is in and of itself is a contradiction. Rosh Hashanah is on the 1st of the month, on the 10th of the month of Rosh Hashanah. He says in the 14th year after the city was destroyed. So this is now 25 years from when he was exiled, but actually only 14 years from the destruction of Yerushalayim. On that day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings Yechezkel above, in a vision, to above Yerushalayim, and he watches the city, and there, by the city of Yerushalayim, is an ish, Mar'eu Kamari Nechosh, is a man who looks like he's a copper man, Upsil Pishtim V'yadoyu Knei Amida, who are made by Shari, is holding a measuring rod and measuring rope to construct. And this man says, you're going to see and watch and everything that I'm going to do, and you're going to tell the people what you're going to see. So that's the introduction to this. When exactly was this? The Mitzvot and all the Mepharshim point out that there's only one Rosh Hashanah, which is on the 10th of the month, and that is the Rosh Hashanah, the entrance of the year of the Yovel year, the 50th year of the Jubilee cycle. It starts after Yom Kippur, that's when the shofar is sounded, and that's when the Jubilee year starts. Why is it relevant over here? And that is, the Radak points out that this, in fact, is the Jubilee year. So in the 25th year from the destruction is, in fact, the year of the Yovel. What's the connection to that? Why is that so? So the Radak explains that because symbolically, as the Yovel cycle entered, all slaves would go free and return, lands would return to their masters. So this is a metaphor for Israel returning from their galus, and it's being used now. Of course, Rashi in Parshas Bechukosai points out that in the pasuk Oz Tirtze Haaretz Es Shabsoseha, the land will then be appeased of its shabbosim, of its shmitos, is that we, the nation of Israel, did not pay the due respect to the land and preserve it and give it the respect it deserved by giving it its shmitos at the end of the 7-year cycle. And therefore Rashi does a whole calculation as to how many shmitos we missed and how many years of galus they were in order to account for those missed shmita years. And so it obviously seems to connect to the theme in general of the land resting. Of course, we should obviously notice that Yechezkel is having a heavenly vision again, the heavenly vision of being above Yerushalayim when watching its destruction. Now he's in the heavenly vision watching it be reconstructed by an angel. This should be a clear parallel to ourselves. Before we jump in, just to some of the generals over here, general aspects of this over here, the overview of this Beis HaMikdash has been described is that its structure is completely square. It's a symmetrical symmetrical design, as opposed to the previous two Batei Mikdash, which were rectangular in design. So this is completely square, and basically there's an outer courtyard and an inner courtyard. The outer courtyard is square with three entrances on all the sides, barring the west side, and the inner courtyard is also a square, with the epicenter being the Mizbeach. On the western side of the inner courtyard square is the entrance to the Heichal. So let's go through a few different sections. I'm not going to get into the details because it's far too complex to cover in this section, but just a few pointers as to how to explore this section. It is very helpful to use the Da'at Mikra version of this, of Tanakh, because it includes the Vilna Gaon's picture, the Malbim's picture, it's very easy to get a sense of it from the pictures itself. So we're told that in the first section, which runs from Pasuk Hey to Tezvav, the focus is the outer wall and the eastern gate. Of course, the eastern gate is where Hashem ultimately left in Golos, so his return to it is very significant. And it talks about how this angel, this angelic figure, this shiny figure, is measuring the width of the binyan, the gate itself. And we know that around the gates are these little rooms, these internal rooms built into the wall. They're called ta'im, and there are three of them by each of the gate, gate, and the gates are being measured, and all the outer gates and vestibules are being measured. There is a debate in the Mepharshim as to where these three rooms, these internal rooms, stood. Rashi, Malbim, and Tosfos Yom Tov say that the three rooms were built into the outer wall, running perpendicular to the entrance. So if it's an eastern gate, the three rooms would run north-south in the wall. Whereas the Radak and the Vilna Gaon says the rooms were actually parallel to the gate. That means to say that if it was an easterly gate, they would run east-west in the room, in the wall, on the inner side. In the next section in Psukim Tes Zayin to Chav Zayin, describe the outer courtyard. This is a large square which contains the inner courtyard. And just to give you a sense of of how big the framework is over here, the Malbim and the Tosfos Yom Tov understand that this outer courtyard is 326 amah in each direction. That's roughly according to Rav Moshe Feinstein's understanding of the amah measurement. We're talking about roughly 577 feet in each direction, so a very large area. The Vilna Gaon understands it's slightly less, depending on how he accounts for the directions of the rooms and the entrances. The Vilna Gaon has it as 313 by 317, so it's also very close to being a square and just a little bit smaller, but within the same ballpark. Now, the next section from Chof Ches to Lamed Zayin talks about the inner courtyard and its gates. In the inner courtyard is a direct a direct inner square to the outer courtyard. And it has it is smaller in the sense that it is 100 amos internally in each direction, so about 212 feet in each direction. It has three gates directly parallel to the outer gates in the outer courtyard. And in each corner are lishka'os. There are these rooms which are in the courtyard where the kohanim store things and the tools they use for serving the Beis HaMikdash. And in the inner walls of this courtyard, so in the walls itself are these frames where they are designated places, elamov, where they store store their items. And in the very center of this courtyard is the Mizbeach. So if you think about the epicenter of this whole structure is the Mizbeach, for that which is used for sacrifice. And then we have the next section, which runs from Psukim Lamaches to Mem Zayin, talk about the northern gate and also the Kohanim's rooms. There's these Lishka'os, which are to be found both in the inner and the outer courtyards, which are in each of the corners in the Kaseif, which means the shoulders, the corner areas. But it's not so clear as to how big and what they contain. The Mephoshim debate as to how many there are and what they contain. Finally, in the very last section, this parak, which runs from Pasuk Memches to Memtes, and really should be continued into the next parak, which we'll get to in the next segment. But nonetheless, this starts talking about the Heichal itself. So if you can imagine two squares within one another, a larger square, which is the outside Chatzer, and the inner square, which is the inner Chatzer, on the western side of the inner square, is the Ulam, which is where the Heichal, the temple itself is. There's no gates on the side because it leads directly into the Heichal. And we have a description here of the measurements of the Ulam, which is Orecha Ulam Esrim Amos, it's 20 Amos, and it's a Rochav of 12 Amos, so it's smaller. And we talk about the steps that lead up to it. And we're going to get into more details next time. One thing which is interesting to notice is that the entrances are tapered outwards, which means to say that it is through the width of the wall, the entrances are thinner on the inner side and larger or more open on the outer side. We saw this by the windows of the earlier Beis HaMikdash, and that is, it's almost like the energy is being projected outwards rather than inwards. So it's open on the outer side, sort of projecting the energy and the light out rather than letting light and energy in. This starts the process. We'll continue tomorrow understanding the and what this looks like and the significance of it. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.